You're listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd ala ma an'amta alayna min ni'min la tuhsa ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma lakal hamd ala ni'matil iman wa ala ni'matil islam wa ala ni'matil ihsan ya rabbal alamin. Alhamdulillah. It is a tremendous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to connect with the fount of all mercy, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a blessing that we should not take for granted, because no other people were blessed with the guidance, with what we have been gifted with when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other human beings were gifted with the preservation of the guidance of their Prophet through generations. We know the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just in general, but we know it soundly, reliably, in both its underlying principles and values, its ultimate purpose, as well as its particulars. So that if you sit down and are going to eat, we know in detail how the Prophet ﷺ ate, and we can follow that. We know about what he has come with, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a way that no other community has been blessed, and we should be truly grateful for this. The most encompassing blessings are the blessings of Iman, Islam, and Ihsan, the blessings of faith and submission. And in the fourth collection of 40 hadiths, in the 40 collections of 40 hadiths of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, we are looking at 40 hadiths regarding the virtues of Iman and Islam, the virtues of faith and submission. So the author, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, this great 20th century scholar, and when we relate these hadiths, alhamdulillah, we relate them with a direct chain back to the author through a number of teachers. Sheikh Akram Abdul Wahab met several of the direct students of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani and gave permission to transmit these. Sheikh Akram Abdul Wahab of Mosul, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, who's from the lands of Sham, originally from Palestine, and who lived much of his life in Egypt, and a number of other scholars as well. He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. So after praising Allah and sending blessings on the Prophet and his family and companions, he says, amma ba'd, to proceed. فَهَذِهِ أَرْبَعُونَ حَدِيثًا فِي فَضْلِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِسْلَامِ. So these are 40 hadiths in the virtues of faith and submission. And Iman and Islam are two interrelated terms. Both of them, in their essence, relate to an action of the heart. Faith is for the heart to confirm as true what it has come to know is true. Okay? That's why faith is tasdeeq. Right? Faith is confirmation. is that you come to know that something is true, which are the realities of what it means to believe in Allah and His Messenger and the matters of faith that the Messenger has informed us of. Right? So you know it, but knowing it as true is not sufficient. Iman is the step after knowing the truth, which is that, as it were, you say yes within yourself to it. Right? Which is why it's called tasdiq. And he saddaqahu tasdiqan. You say, yes, I accept. Okay? Yes, I accept. So it is to confirm as true, such that there's qabool, there's acceptance. And you, but that acceptance, iman, has an implication in actions. Because that acceptance is all you accept that you accept that guidance. And accepting that guidance entails that you act upon it. So faith has an origin, which is that confirmation, and it has a consequence, which is acting upon it. So actions, the actions of faith are the fulfillment of faith. They're the fruits of faith. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ referred to the many acts of guidance as being the branches of faith. Shu'ab al-Iman. That Iman, said the Prophet ﷺ, has 70 odd branches. Some narrations, 77 branches. Shu'ba. But these branches are not faith itself. Faith is that confirmation that is in the heart. This is beautifully expressed, and I encourage you to read the verses from Surah Ibrahim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the example of the good word is like the good tree, whose roots are firm. Right? The good word, that is your statement of faith, that it is within you. The kalimat in tayyiba is when you know the truth and you say, I accept. It is, you know, it's not merely saying something, it is that, as it were, word within. Right? Its roots are firm because it is supported by certitude. Right? So faith is rooted within you when it has certitude. And whose branches are in the sky. Now if its branches are in the sky, the ulama say, faith requires uprightness of state. Because a tree that is crooked, the branches won't be pointing up. Right? And whose branches are in the sky. These branches are the implications, you know, what faith entails. So faith comes to fruition and is perfected only when one acts upon what it entails. Which is the relationship between Iman and Islam. Islam is an inward surrender, is an inward surrender due to acceptance. Right, so that's the interrelationship between Iman and Islam. It's an inward surrender, it's istislam. You surrender yourself to it. Aslamt. You know, when you give up and you surrender, you say aslamt. I surrender. Wastaslamt, and I submit. You are arguing with someone, you disagreed. I say, khalas, astaslim. I submit to what you're saying. I mean, I defer to it. Right? So Islam is not the pillars itself. Islam is not in itself doing things. Islam is an inqiyadun batini. It's an inward deferring. It's an inward submission, surrender, acceptance. Yansha'u anhu taslimun zahiri. Okay? from which emerges an outward compliance and outward actions. So the five pillars of Islam, which we will see mentioned, the other acts of submission in our obeying Allah in what He has commanded, encouraged, and our desisting from what He has prohibited and discouraged, this is the subject matter of Islam, in that these are the required and expected expressions of what is entailed by that inward surrender. Which is why someone, as we'll see today, we'll be looking at two hadiths, the second hadiths. Abu Dharr was confused that someone who believes will be saved. He said, what if they steal and they commit zina and they do all these things? And he was so shocked. Right? And this is an important concept to be clear about. So the believers who have shortcomings in their practice, who fail to pray and fast and so on, their faith will be weakened by that. Their submission is not as it is not expressed as it must be, but they are without question believers, and they are without question Muslim, but they are sinful and they have grave deficiencies, but their Islam and Iman are not fundamentally in question. So let's look at the first hadith. عن سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعاذ رديف على الرحل قال يا معاذ. So Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه relates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one day, while سيدنا معاذ was sitting next to him on his mount, the animal that they were riding, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh. And he responded, Labbayka Ya Rasool Allah, at your behest, O Messenger of Allah. And Labba Yalibbu, your lub is your innermost. But Labba is to turn to somebody with your attention. Right? Turn to someone with your attention. And that we say, Labbayk Allahumma Labbayk. And but the Prophet ﷺ himself, this is a neglected sunnah. If someone called out to him for attention, he would say, Labbaik, at your behest, here I am. You have my attention. Yarhamukumullah. So Labbaik ya Rasulullah, wa sa'adaik. So at your behest, O Messenger of Allah, and I want all happiness for you. And he said that three times. And he was already there. He was sitting with him. And it's also, of course, an important sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ ensured the attention of the one he was addressing. You see this right from the first public call. The Prophet ﷺ, when he went up on Mount Safa and called people. And he could have just said, Assalamu alaikum, can anyone hear me? No, he went up on Mount Safa, made sure everyone was gathered, he caught their attention very dramatically. His own family, he gathered them at the house of his uncle, Abu Talib, that I have something important to say. Right, so he caught their attention. So seeking the attention of the one you're addressing is an important sunnah, and giving your attention fully to one who's addressing you is an important sunnah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, after gaining Sayyidina Mu'adh's attention, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is no one, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ, there is absolutely no one who bears witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sidqan min qalbihi, out of true, you know, truly from their heart, sidqan, you know, meaning it from their heart, except that Allah forbids them from being touched by the fire. That's a huge statement. There's no one who bears witness that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah truly from their heart, except that Allah forbids them from being touched by the fire. It tells us, of course, also one of the merit of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah itself, but of having sidq, this quality of being true, meaning it. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَا أُخْبِرُ بِهِ النَّاسِ فَيَسْتَبْشِرُ Sayyidina Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, should I not inform people of this so that they may rejoice? قَالَ إِذَنْ يَتَّكِلُ The Prophet ﷺ said, then they would become, they would just rely on this. Then they would just rely on this. Ittikal is depending on something in a manner that causes you to become complacent. And then they'll become complacent or complacently reliant. Because true reliance would be you are sure of this meaning and you take responsibility to realize what it requires. Because you don't know whether you will die on that. Because actions affect the trueness of your connection to faith. So the Prophet ﷺ told Sayyidina Mu'adh. Why? Because Sayyidina Mu'adh was, radiallahu ta'ala, was someone who had strived truly. So he shared this with him. So Sayyidina Mu'adh didn't go and tell people. فَأَخْبَرَ بِهَا مُعَاذٌ عِنْدَ مَوْتِهِ تَأَثُّمًا So Mu'adh رضي الله تعالى عنه informed people of this that he heard at the time of his death تَأَثُّمًا out of fear of falling into sin. What fear? The fear of concealing knowledge. Right? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم warned that whoever conceals knowledge that people needed will be given a lijam. What's a lijam? Yeah, they will be, they'll have like a bridle of fire by which they'll be dragged on the day of judgment. Right? So he informed of this, right, at his deathbed. Rahul Bukhari Muslim. Because this reality is true, but it is not sufficient from taking the means. Because if you do not take care of the health of your faith and the health of your submission through mere ittikal, through mere complacent reliance, that's false reliance upon Allah. Then your faith and submission themselves will be in question or they may be lost. Right? Because the key, you know, what's the key word in this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? Sidqan min qalbihi. Truly from one's heart. Right? Which is likewise there's another hadith that we'll see that whoever says La ilaha illallah, that it's come that La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise. So one of the early Muslims said, yes, but every key has its teeth. Right? And you need the teeth to be there, otherwise it may not open the door. Right? That every key has its teeth by which it opens the lock of the door. Right? So yeah, you may have the key, but if the key goes blunt, it may not open the door. And the key to that is sidq. Is to be true. the second hadith عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه. It's a very funny hadith. قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ذر الغفاري رضي الله تعالى عنه said I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه ثوب أبيض and he was wearing a white you know, white garments وهو نائم and he was sleeping ثم أتيته وقد استيقظ then I came back to him when he'd woken up. Now, how did he know he was sleeping? Because the Prophet ﷺ's house, right? People could go in and out, even you know, at any time. Right? So he was able to go inside the house without having to wait to knock, etc. Right? And when this got too much, then the instructions came of knocking first and seeking permission and so on. The Sahaba had this very easy relationship with the Prophet ﷺ, especially the closer companions. But anyone, even his enemies, as we know from the hadith of when the wife of Abu Lahab walked into the house of the Prophet with a rock to bash his head in. And he could see her and Abu Bakr could. The Prophet was just smiling. Abu Bakr was like, what are you going to do? And he's just smiling. When she came, she asked Abu Bakr, Aina sahibuka, where's your companion? And she didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was just smiling, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Busiri in his Burda comments, in his Hamziya comments, وَأَنَّ تَرَى الشَّمْسَ مُقْلَةٌ عَمْيَاءُ How can the sun be seen by eyes that are blind? So then the Prophet ﷺ woke up. فَقَالَ مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ The Prophet ﷺ said, after waking up, there is no servant who says, La ilaha illallah, and dies upon that, except that they enter paradise. Of course, the key is, and dies upon that. Which is one of the most important things to seek is husnul khatima, is a good ending. Right? It's وحسن الختام, right? And a good ending. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ Actions are by their endings. It's also one of the great merits of repeating La ilaha illallah. Because it's come, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرَ كَلَامِهِ La ilaha illallah دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever's last words are La ilaha illallah enters paradise. You don't know what when your last moment is. So if you're consistently saying and meaning La ilaha illallah, then your chances of dying saying that are much higher. Imam Suyuti, of course, in his 40 hadith, made this hadith number 39. Whoever's last words are La ilaha illallah enters paradise. And sort of, al-istibshar bil khair, he doesn't include a 40th hadith in his collection of 40 hadiths. But you get there early. So, the Prophet said, whoever says La ilaha illallah and dies upon that, there's no servant who says La ilaha illallah and dies upon that except that they enter paradise. So Abu Dhar said, قلت وَإِن سَرَقَ وَزَنَى Even if they steal and commit zina, you know, and engage in unlawful sexual intercourse. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقَ So he asked, وَإِن سَرَقْ وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقْ Even if they commit zina or steal. And the Prophet said, even if, وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقْ Even if they commit zina and even if they steal. قُلْتُ وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقْ Even if they commit zina and even if they steal. قَالَ وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقْ And the Prophet said, even if they commit zina, and even if they steal. So he said a third time, وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقْ Even if they commit zina, and even if they steal, this is the third time. Right? And the Prophet said, وَإِن زَنَى وَإِن سَرَقْ Even if they commit zina, and even if they steal. And you see, of course, the patience of the Prophet. Right? He just answered the question. Then he said, عَلَى رَغْمِ أَنْفِي أَبِي ذَرْ Literally, it means despite Abu Dhar's nose. Literally. Rahm is despite. But the expression means that regardless of, right, regardless of how Abu Dharr feels about it, وكان أبو ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه إذا حدث بهذا الحديث قال وإن رغم أنف أبي ذر. Said even if, despite what Abu Dharr thought about that, because he was shocked, right? He was shocked, and he was shocked, right? But this is why one of the important adab of Islam is to have ta'zeem of the people of La ilaha illallah, because these are people of paradise. These are people whom Allah loves, right? One of the mashayikh put it that every believer is like a nugget of gold. The nugget of gold, you could throw it in the dust, you could throw it in the sewage, it may look, it may stink, it may smell, it may look ugly, but it has, the very meaning of life is in the heart of that believer, which is La ilaha illallah. Right? The meaning of life is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Now, the very purpose of existence is وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created humans, jinn nor humans, except that they may know me. And these are people who have accepted belief in Allah, whom Allah has honored with that, who has gifted with that. So this is very serious. Right? Which, and it also points to the fact that the basis of our looking at the believer is respect. But every human being has been honored. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam. Why? Because the human being, and jinn too, but we just deal with the human. Humans, what is their intrinsic honoring is that Allah has granted them the capacity to believe. And you don't know what state they'll die in, right? So that carries over to every human being, right? To every human being. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He realize us in that respect, and also that acknowledgement of what a tremendous gift La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah is. But to seek to connect with it, صَادِقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, right? Being true to it with one's heart. And to strive to live such that we die upon it. That's what the hadiths call to, that you recognize the tremendousness of this blessing, you want to preserve it. How? The two qualities we've seen in these hadiths. Number one, to be true to it. Right? Strive to live such that your life and your choices are being true to La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and to strive to live such that you would, that if death comes to you, you are upon, you're in the circle of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Nasallallah an yuhaqqiqana bidhalik. We ask Allah to realize us in that. We'll briefly look at the next section of Sheikh Imam Az-Zarnuji's work, Ta'lim al-Mutallim. And we looked at the importance of striving, right? Of striving in seeking of knowledge, right? And did we read the lines of Biqadr al-Kaddi? Okay. So he continues by, Imam Zarnuji liked poetry a lot, right? But you also see a beautiful note of the nature of the poetic tradition of Islam is that it's an oral tradition as well, right? So how often he says, I heard from my teachers, I heard from so-and-so, right? And this is very effective because meanings are taught, but meanings become, they resonate when they're expressed eloquently. And poetry is a peak of Arabic eloquence. And one of the things what one should strive for if one's trying to learn Arabic, a good place to get to is that you should be able to appreciate the beauty of, you should be able to appreciate classical poetry, classical Islamic poetry. If you can, that's a good sign. The Quran has been made easy, but if you can't appreciate classical poetry, you won't be able, you're not really appreciating the depths of the Quran. And you may be getting the surface meaning, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy has made the general meaning of the Quran approachable for anyone. But you're not getting its nuance and beauty unless you have a deeper understanding of Arabic. And a good sign of that is poetry, is the great classical poetry of the great scholars and righteous, for example. So he says, بِقَدْرِ الْكَدِّ تُعْطَى مَا تَرُومُ فَمَنْ رَامَ الْمُنَى لَيْلًا يَقُومُ وَأَيَّامَ الْحَدَاثَةِ فَاقْتَنِمْهَا أَلَا إِنَّ الْحَدَاثَةَ لَا تَدُومُ. He said, so he says, فَيَغْتَنِمُ أَيَّامَ الْحَدَاثَةِ وَعُنْفُوَانَ الشَّبَابِ. One should make the most of the days of one's youth, and one is in the fullness of being young. As it has been said, to the extent of your striving shall you be granted what you long for. For whoever seeks high attainment stays up at night. Right? Stays up at night. And the days of your youth, make the most of them. For truly, the days of youth do not last. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ warned, there's two blessings. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. There are two great blessings that most people lose out on. الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Health and free time. And staying up at night, what's meant by that, the first step in that, staying up at night, is to make the most of one's waking hours during nighttime. Nighttime begins with Maghrib. What do you do from Maghrib to when you go to sleep? How do you structure your nighttime? It's not just about not sleeping, right? But to use your, you know, the half of the day that is night in a manner of in which you will attain your religious and spiritual and learning goals. But he balances this with his counsel saying, وَلَا يُجْهِدُ نَفْسَهُ جُهْدًا. But one does not exert oneself excessively. وَلَا يُضْعِفُ النَّفْسِ حَتَّى يَنْقَطِعَ عَنِ الْعَمَلِ. And one does not weaken oneself such that one becomes cut off from action. So you stay up so much at night that you ruin your health, you become hospitalized and so on, and you're not able to sustain your work. Or it leads you, even more importantly, to not fulfill the rights of others. So you stay up all night and then you don't show up at work. And that would be haram. بَلْ يَسْتَعْمِلُ الرِّفْقَ فِي ذَلِكَ. But rather, one uses gentleness in that. وَالرِّفْقُ أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. And gentleness is a tremendous principle in all matters. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ألا إن هذا الدين متين فأوغل فيه برفق. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, truly this religion is vast. متين is vast, so it's something that's expansive and deep. فأوغل فيه, so enter into its depths gently, you know, gradually, without overwhelming yourself. Don't drown, right? And then, وَلَا تُبَغِّضْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ عِبَادَةَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And do not make yourself dislike the worship of Allah Most High. Okay. How? By making it excessive, by making it unsustainable, by making it more than you can maintain. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and this part of the hadith is grossly mistranslated in the current translations that we have in English. He said, فَإِنَّ الْمُنْبَتَّ لَا أَرْضًا قَطَعَ وَلَا ظَهْرًا أَبْقَى. Because the excessive rider does not traverse any land, nor preserve their mount. And the munbat is the one who rushes forth in a manner that is too hasty. So you got a horse and you want to go from Mecca to Medina. So if you ride the horse too fast, you could kill the horse. Okay? Or at the very least, the horse now will not be able to ride. Or they'll refuse to ride. Okay? Because the hasty rider, the excessive rider, doesn't traverse any land, nor preserve their mount. And who is your mount? Yourself. And you are riding yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to have diplomacy with yourself. You have to have a self-maintenance program. Which is why one of the most excellent advices when I was going overseas, Sheikha Sahal advised that keep in mind that seeking knowledge is like a marathon. It's not like a 100-meter dash. Okay? That said that some of the people, she said, who she saw that burnt out were people who started off full tilt. They ran 100 meters, but then they're out of breath. The journey's just begun. Now they can't sustain it. So after running 100 meters, then they go on a vacation. Then they do this and do that, and they lose their focus. Whereas a person who keeps plugging away consistently will get much further. It's like a marathon. It's not that you go slow, but it's the momentum that matters, the sustainable momentum. Which is why it's related, وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَىٰ وَسَلَّمُ وَنَفْسُكَ مَطِيَّتُكَ فَرْفُقْ بِهَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, yourself is your mount. So be gentle with it. So that's the counsel of the Prophet ﷺ. Yourself is your mount. So be gentle with it. And from that as well, that's often neglected by students of knowledge and often neglected by people who are trying to achieve a lot in life, is also to take care of one's health. To take care of one's health. So that enables one to sustain a rigorous schedule. To take care of one's diet. Because otherwise, that'll affect your health and your well-being. نسأل الله العافية. Says ولا بد لطالب العلم من الهمة العالية في العلم. But there's a balance. But despite that, it is absolutely necessary for the seeker of knowledge to have high resolve. الهمة العالية في العلم. والهمة العالية نتيجة الهم. The high resolve is the result of having true concern, hem. Right? That there's something that concerns you, which is al-irthu nabawi, right? The prophetic inheritance. To have understanding of the deen, the rida of Allah, the good pleasure of Allah, an-nush lil-muslimin, to have sincere concern for others. Right? To have, above all, sincere concern. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Right? That with what will I stand in front of my Lord? فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ يَطِيرُ بِهِمَّتِهِ كَالطَّيْرِ. For a man flies with their himma, with their resolve, like a bird flies with its wings. كَالطَّيْرِ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحِهِ. So one must have a high himma. And high himma, so it's important to reflect on what you are seeking through your knowledge, which is what is your seeking of knowledge connected to. And what it is connected to is built upon the concern underlying your seeking of knowledge. And they say that lack of seeking is from a lack of resolve, and lack of resolve is from a lack of concern. And we'll stop with the lines of poetry of Abu Tayyib, who is Al-Mutanabbi, who many consider the greatest of the poets of the Islamic era, certainly in terms of linguistic eloquence. Okay. There's quite a character. You can Google his name. متنبي. He's quite a character, رحمه الله. He says, على قدر أهل العزم تأتي العزائم وتأتي على قدر الكرام المكارم وتعظم في عين الصغير صغارها وتصغر في عين العظيم العظائم. He says, على قدر أهل العزم تأتي العزائم. To the extent of the rank of the people of resolve, do high matters, okay, to come. And likewise, to the extent of the nobility of the noble, do noble matters come. And great in the eyes of the small, do small things seem. And small in the eyes of the great, do great things seem. That, you know, the people of low concern, low resolve, low aspiration, they do just a little bit, they're content. Right? But that's not the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri kulli. Oh Allah, I ask you for the good, all of it. عَجِلِهِ وَأَجِلِهِ. It's immediate and it's long term. مَعْلِمْتُ مِنْهُ وَمَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ. What I know of it and what I know not. So this idea of, oh Allah, just squeeze me into paradise, is not from the way of someone who's on the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And we'll continue by looking at the role of high resolve in the next session. He says, وَالرَّأْسُ فِي تَحْصِيلِ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْجِدُّ وَالْهِمَّةُ الْعَالِيَةِ. He said that literally the head, right? You know, the most important thing in attaining anything is striving and high resolve. Right? And he gives examples of that. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Thank you for listening to the Rauha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.